You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time now here on RNIB Connect Radio to find out all about World Ballet Day, the global celebration of dance on Wednesday, the 12th of November 2025, as artists and audiences are invited to experience ballet in a new transformative way as access becomes art. The Royal Ballet in London will be streaming a programme of dance which will have at its heart a brand new 6-minute piece of work curated and conceived by choreographer and artistic director of 4/4 Dance North Festival, Robert Benet, in collaboration with blind artist and assistant professor of disability studies, Devon Healy, whose immersive descriptive audio will take people into the inner world of dance through sensation, sound and storytelling. I'm delighted to say that both Devon and Rob join me now to tell me all about World Ballet Day and also about their new collaboration. Piece too. Welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio, Devon and Rob.
Oh, Toby, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Toby. We're thrilled to be here.
Firstly, Rob, do tell me a little bit about what World Ballet Day is all about and why this year's theme is all about radical accessibility, showcasing access as art.
Absolutely. Thank you. So World Ballet Day is a program that the director of the Royal Ballet, Kevin O'Hare, started about 12 years ago now. And originally it was companies around the world live streaming behind the scenes access, you know, class, rehearsals, stage rehearsals to give people a glimpse behind the curtain. And, you know, as social media has progressed over the last decade, that's no longer so novel. You know, we can get that on Instagram directly from dancers and choreographers every day of the year. And so as we thought about the future of World Ballet Day and this idea of, you know, inviting people into the work of a ballet company in a different way, it felt really right to shift the focus towards accessibility in a much more specific and meaningful way and focus on co-creating with disabled artists. And as we were doing this work around the same time, Devon and I created some work for the Royal Ballet, a piece called Dark with Excessive Bright. And it was so exciting to see how Devon's immersive descriptive audio, of course, made the work accessible to blind and low vision audiences, but also made it more inviting to everyone and gave new pathways for understanding dance. And so on World Ballet Day, we're hoping to reach new audiences, and we're hoping that Devon's immersive descriptive audio will allow people to understand dance in a new way and perhaps a more personal and intimate way.
Devon, it's great to have the focus for World Ballet Day this year all about access as art. And do tell me a little bit about how you and Rob and the other choreographers started working on this piece.
Yeah, I must admit, Toby, I too am over the moon about access becomes art as the foundation for World Ballet Day and the invitation that's gone out globally. Rob and I, as Rob had mentioned, we collaborated before on Dark with Excessive Bright, where immersive descriptive audio, which is distinct from audio description or creative forms of audio description, as it really works to understand blindness as a distinct form of perception. And in the description that I write, I'm not necessarily describing what is there to be seen. The visual elements are a part of the work, but they are not the main focus. So through my blindness and movement and engagement with the world, I come to meet dancers and choreographers right at the start of the creative process, which I think makes all of the difference. And that's really where access transforms art. When we engage with questions of access and what it means to come together and how we relate, it changes the way we tell stories. And so coming together with Rob, with Tyler Peck, with Rebecca Miles Stewart, Sir Wayne McGregor, and Bim Malcolmson, it really was a privilege to come together and to sit first and talk and get to know each other in terms of our practices, our relations to dance, what has drawn us to dance, and what continues to draw us to dance, and what really is that impulse that makes us stay and wants to explore. And I kind of take some notes throughout that and I've got that. And then, of course, we begin to talk about the story that's being told. And for World Ballet Day this year, we're working with Max Richter's music of Mercy. And that's really the thread that's uniting us all together as we explore access as art. And we talked about the music and how it made us feel and the really different stories that Max's music was churning within us. Four choreographers with four very different interpretations and stories to tell in relation to this music. And so we talked about that. And then as the choreography developed and I wrote the IDA for it, my words informed the choreography. And then the choreography informed the text, my words. And so there was this beautiful dialectic back and forth of creation. So there was not one sense, so sightedness or blindness, that was privilege. There wasn't the choreography and then the text. It truly was a collaboration where we were kind of dancing with each other from the start. And that's the immersive descriptive audio. That's the text that we're inviting audiences into. That kind of brings us into the unseen dynamics of the creation of a project, the conceiving of a project, the rehearsal, and then, of course, the performance. And it's really through blindness, trying to engage my movement in the world as a blind person. And Toby, the stories of our culture in blindness, really trying to explore this particular way of movement. And that's the immersive descriptive audio. I'm really excited to share it. I think it's a bit of beautiful.
And Rob, this working with Devon that you've obviously done before and working on this piece for World Ballet Day, is that something sort of, I suppose, new to how choreographers work?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely new. You know, there's been amazing collaborations around accessibility for a long time, but to have an artist co-creating with us in the studio from the beginning in the way Devon does is not the usual process. And I think what's foundational to Devon's work and what is the principle of World Ballet Day this year is that it's not, you know, accessibility is not something that's added to a project at the end, but it's a foundational collaborator, a foundational artistic value in the construction of the work. And I think what I've found and what I hope these other choreographers will discover is having these conversations with Devon about what you're trying to achieve in the movement and what you're feeling in the movement is really clarifying. I find it makes me a better artist. It's like a really wonderful dramaturgical process, because so often in dance, you can kind of keep the meaning a secret to yourself because it's all open to interpretation and choreographers are allowed to be mysterious and you just make your work and people do it and people interpret it as they wish. And I've found I don't usually have a back and forth with a collaborator so early in the construction of the movement. And doing that with Devon and understanding her interpretation and perceptions of the movement inspires and sharpens my own.
And would you both be able to maybe describe a moment within the piece that really sort of showcases that collaboration between you both, the dancers, the other choreographers, and how access can become art?
It's funny, Toby, I understand the question, but it's difficult to pinpoint a particular moment when the whole work in of itself is that collaboration. I can't go off on my own and write and imagine without holding the relations that I'm building and the stories that we're in the midst of exploring in the rehearsal hall, that it's always with me. And then the choreographers don't leave and create separately and then come back and say, okay, Devon, here's what I've changed. It truly is all of us together. One piece I'll share is it's been really beautiful getting to know, as Rob said, the choreographers, because there is always an element of mystery. And not that I'm trying to remove mystery, because that's so important within the work and also within our lives to maintain our love and enjoyment of mystery and not trying to pin everything down or figure things out. But in speaking with some of the choreographers and getting to know them and where they are right now, their relationship with dance, and then also witnessing how their journeys are very much woven into their choreographic practice. And there's been moments where I've said, oh, that's just from our talk. I understand that now. And they've looked to me and said, oh, I didn't realize, but yeah, that's right. This is part of what I'm trying to tell. And so we've really awoken within each other when it's just a one-on-one or between and among the collaborators, we've almost become far more sensitive, not only to each other and how we work, and just, and by sensitive, Toby, I mean kind of like just opening ourselves up a little bit more to noticing things and feeling things. But I think this work in collaboration has opened up a sensitivity to myself and to how I move and experience blindness, and how blindness for me changes so deeply with each interaction I have. Rob and I were speaking, oh, I think a couple of months ago, Rob, when we were talking about blindness and blind persons having a very particular understanding of our bodies when we move in the world. And there's always a little bit of audio description that we've got going on to ourselves of movement. And I know I feel my blindness very deeply in my body. And it's not dissimilar to how dancers move and feel their bodies. And so we have these kind of two very distinct ways of moving and understanding movement coming together and having a conversation. And for me, what's been remarkable about this is how deeply powerful even the smallest movement is, and how much of ourselves we're expressing and sharing with the world, even within a subtle hand gesture or blink of our eye. And so this work has made me sensitive to the storytelling power that we all possess if we open ourselves up to it. It's been very exciting.
And if you add, Rob?
No, no, if I can add to that, that was so beautiful. I mean, I think to your question about a moment, you know, the work is still very much in creation. So it feels wrong to pick a moment. But for me, it's because this collaboration has been between Devin and myself for the last 5 years, to see what's happening when she starts to work with other choreographers is so exciting for me, and how it shifts her work and how it shifts their work. So it's that sort of new possibility that's being created. That's the most exciting thing for me right now.
And I suppose focusing on access as art for World Ballet Day 2025 will hopefully open up ballet and dance to even more people.
Absolutely.
That's the hope. And the hope as well, Toby, is that we're all coming to understand disability, and in this particular collaboration, blindness, in new, dynamic, nuanced ways. Not only are we inviting people to dance, but we're also inviting disabled persons, if you understand yourself as such, or non-disabled, if that's how you understand yourself, into a new engagement with disability. And that's in particular what I'm thrilled about, and just so honored that the Royal Ballet and Rob would want to explore this and open themselves up as well.
So, Rob, how can we all watch the Royal Ballet's programme for World Ballet Day on Wednesday, the 12th of November 2025, that has at its heart yours and Devon's collaborative work?
Yes, it will be streaming live on YouTube and on the Royal Ballet and Opera website, which is rbo.org.uk.
Well, thank you both, Devon and Rob, for joining me again here on RNIB Connect Radio, telling me all about World Ballet Day and definitely how access can become art through ballet and dance.
Thank you.
Toby, I hope we meet again. Thank you for having us.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.